Sophistication. Class. Restraint. Dignity. None of these words have anything to do with Super Troopers 3.
1, 2, 3, go! Barbara in the house!
Hope you guys aren't too drunk already!
Now in theaters.
No new info on the guy who did it.
Oh, so it couldn't have been a woman?
Sexist!
You ever see Ocean's 8?
Enough! Super Troopers 3, meow. Playing only in theaters. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parents.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, we take a personal live ghost tour of Mackinac Island. I have always been drawn to the ghosts of Mackinac Island. I don't know why. It is, to put it lightly, a one-of-a-kind place. No matter how many times one visits Mackinac Island, they usually walk away with a desire to see more. While it's theorized that tens of thousands may call it their final resting place, you'll find that just under 500 living souls call the island home on a yearly basis. Yes, the dead truly do outnumber the living on Mackinac Island, even during the busy summer tourist season. A season which may be the favorite time of year for the dead to come out and remind the living of their presence on this hollowed piece of ground poking out of Lake Huron. Over the summer of 2019, I was able to get a first-hand look at some of the ghosts of Mackinac Island and haunted locations with my tour guide, author, and resident paranormal historian of Mackinac Island, Todd Clemens. Today's episode is going to feel a little bit different than other episodes of the program because it was recorded live as we walked around the island. The background noises and music that you hear are the sounds, the very unique sounds of Mackinac Island. From horses trotting to people talking to noises coming out of cafes. This is a walk around the island that has intrigued me my entire life. We begin this episode standing just outside of the Bicycle Street Inn in downtown Mackinac Island.
When they actually built the new hotel, the building that's here, when they put the basement into it, they found a lot of sets of human remains. Most of them were Native American. There were a few European. They can kind of tell by the way they were buried. The Native Americans, they're buried kind of hunched down, so their head is the highest point where we traditionally bury someone. They're on their back.
Sure.
So they took they didn't know who they were. They had no idea, especially the European ones. There was a cemetery, I'll walk you guys by it, that used to be up the street, and they moved it, but they didn't move all of them. So they think rain, time might have moved them a little bit underneath the area we're at. And the Native Americans are buried all over the island, everywhere. Not scary, but it's just, this was sacred land. It was kind of like their Garden of Eden. And what happened was this was where man was created, the creation myths of the Native Americans. And what they would do is they'd take their chiefs, their medicine men, the most important people in all the tribe, and they'd bring them here and they'd bury them on the island. And it's kind of similar like Hollywood, where the famous person does it and everybody's like, oh, I'll try that. Well, like Native Americans, the most famous people were the medicine men, the chiefs, the families. So they all started burying their people here. So it wound up being giant burial ground. So, and it's sacred ground for them. And eventually it became European settlement in the 1600s. It was the first, I think it was 1671. Nicolette was the first person to come to the island. He was a missionary. Then Marquette, who's the famous one that towns and colleges and everything are named after, he came here and started a mission and was converting Native Americans over to Christianity from their native religions. So, and there's a ton of stories about that. So.
And once you bury that many people on an island, or in any place for that matter, over time, you're not going to know, especially if you're not marking the graves. They're everywhere.
They are everywhere, and they still are found to this day. Mm-hmm. There was a time we were hiking along a bluff. We were actually looking for an old cave that supposedly still had remnants and char marks and things from when the Native Americans used it. We couldn't get to the cave because it was like 40 feet up a bluff and come down. Well, you've seen the bluffs on the island. They're quite high. We weren't going to climb down. We tried ropes. We couldn't actually throw the rope over the bluff in the right place. So we just gave up. So we're coming down this loose rock, and I see this weird colored rock. I go grab it. I look at it, and it was actually a bone. It was a human vertebrae, we found out later. But it was 600 to 800 years old, they estimated, based on color, decomposition, and everything like that. So you can find them everywhere. They found walrus bones on the island from the Ice Age. So
what do they do now when, like, say somebody's building a cottage on a piece of land, and they start excavating, and they inevitably find some remains. They don't know who it is. They don't know exactly where it's from. What do they do with those remains today?
Typically, it does happen. It's not as often. There's not a ton of new construction. Mm-hmm. In some of the areas, new construction, they're actually getting through the rock, so it's not burial areas. But when they do find them, typically, Native American, they have a burial mound out in St. Anne's Cemetery for Native Americans. If you go up there, you see it's roped off, and they will put them in that burial mound. But first they will contact the tribes up in Sault Ste. Marie and say, would you like us to hold these for you to put them in your own active burial grounds? Sometimes they'll get them, sometimes they don't, but they're offered the opportunity. So
it's not like Funny Farm where it's like, oh, hey,
yeah.
good.
But in long time ago, in the 1800s, when they would find them, they just threw them away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just the way it was back then. I'll take you through Marquette Park and show you where they found over 1,000 sets of Native American remains when they were putting in a farm.
Wow.
Yep, they were tilling up the land, and they were just bone after bone, skulls, bones, 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 piles of bones. They had their farm. The fort always complained that the food was like salted pork, salted fish, salted this, salted that. They didn't have much for vegetables. They didn't have much for anything. And the soldiers saw this huge plot of land right there in front. It's perfect for a farm. So they decided, we want more food, variety in our food. So they planted it, and that's what happened when they did it.
Did things grow well?
They grew okay. I mean, there's not a long growing season up here, but they could get corn, and I think they did like rhubarb and beets. Just nothing great.
I'm just wondering with like what's in the soil.
Oh, yeah,
it's
rich soil.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of
composition
in the soil. So
well, lead the way. Which way
we'll
go?
This.
Okay.
There's an interesting story in there. It's actually a friend of my brother was staying in the hotel on the third floor. I just don't know which room it was.
And this is in the what's now Goodfellas.
Lakeview Hotel. And he was there with his wife. They went to bed, turned off all the lights. Bathroom light popped on. Okay, old hotel. This is like, I want to say mid-1800s it was built as a hotel. I think it was 1852, but don't quote me on that. No, I'm not sure the exact year on that one. But he's staying in the hotel. The light goes on in the bathroom. He gets out of bed, turns it off. It woke both of them up. They go back to sleep. Light turned back on. He goes back in there, shuts it off again. He's like, I hope it doesn't happen again. Goes back in. They go to bed. Light comes on again, except this time there's a vanity in the room with a mirror. There's a woman sitting in front of the vanity facing the mirror. They couldn't see her face, but there was a woman sitting there. Then the light turned itself off. They turn the light on next to the bed. The woman was gone, but the mirror now had a crack clean across it. So, and he's the type of person who doesn't believe in any of the ghost stories, doesn't believe in anything, but he's like, there's that one time.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I can't explain it. We didn't do it. And the mirror was broken. The light kept turning on and turned off. And so that happened on the third floor here.
Is there any backstory to this building that would lead into that? Or
the only backstory we really have is it's roughly 170-year-old hotel. And people came and went. It was here when the fort was active. Mm-hmm. And soldiers would have their families come in. We just don't know who it was, mm-hmm. but it's a woman. And some people have said they've seen soldiers in the hallway, too, a couple times. Okay. And we don't know who they are.
Sure.
Unfortunately, most ghosts don't introduce themselves.
Yeah, sure.
We try and do the history behind it, but we never know who they are. We do know one. This is the one I'm going to talk about right over here.
Okay.
We're about 95 to almost, can never be 100%, about 95% sure on this one. Right here, Village Inn, authentic Jamaican food. It is really good. Just started this year. I'd never had authentic. I've had, like, knockoff. Yeah, they even have Jamaican desserts. There's this one thing called Festival, which is kind of like a churro. And if you ask for ice cream if they can, it's pretty good. So
okay.
I don't know, guys, you already had dessert, but well, another time.
And I should note, when we're recording this, we're not adding Jamaican music just for effect.
No,
it's literally playing in the background.
Playing in the background, yep. So this is Village Inn. You have the AT&T, like, processing center where
okay.
all the lines for the cable and the phones go to, and then you have some apartments up there. From this alley to this next street was originally St. Anne's Church, was standing right here, and then it was traditional at the time, cemetery was right next to the church. So the cemetery went from that building all the way up, and then they decided the church was having financial trouble, and one of the island locals, she was a fur trader who was running a successful business back in the early 1800s, and I'll tell you a little bit about when we get to her house. But she rescued the church and saved them by moving the church to her property, and it still stands there today. When she saved the church and they moved it, what they did was they took the land the church used to sit, filled it in with more graves, and then the graveyard sat there for a very, very, very long time. They decided they were going to move it because tourism was starting to come into town, and they moved it to a center place in the island where it would be quiet. So they moved all the graves, but if you've ever seen the movie Poltergeist, some of them, they moved the headstones. They didn't move the bodies. So like I was saying, the hotel right there, the big beige, that's the hotel that has the basement. This is where they would have been buried. It's not very far away. With rain, especially how much we've had this year up here, the things move through the dirt. And we think that's how they moved down into where the basement was when they dug it up. Four people we know are documented to have not been moved, but there may have been more than that. And when they moved it to the center of the island, there's a couple photos that are around. Weeds were growing. Most people were buried there. It was overcrowded. No one knew was being buried there for a very long time. The families kind of left or moved away or just forgot. They were forgotten. A lot of the graves were forgotten. It wasn't well maintained. So that's why they moved. Part of the reason they moved the cemetery. And then they just... Here we have Village Inn. And we have the AT&T. And we have apartments. Some of the activity here, I think, is related to a residual haunt. It's not an active haunt, and it actually follows a pathway. We had to put it together to figure out what it was, and it was just it was a puzzle. We heard, okay, the haunted theater, which is the amusement one, the haunted theater has haunts, and is a woman. It's all we knew, Victorian woman in the haunted theater, and she was usually seen in the back of the haunted theater. So we got that story. We're like, okay. Then we had a story, there's a breezeway, which I can take you guys because we're not on a tour. It's like a little field where saddle horses will graze. Mm-hmm. And people have said they've seen a woman walk through there in Victorian clothes. And in the back of the Village Inn, there is the women's restroom. Doors open on the stalls. The door to the bathroom is open at times. They hear noises of a woman coughing or making noise or doing something. And one woman was actually coming out of the bathroom, and there's a woman in Victorian clothes standing at the door, and she walked by her, and then she looked back to look at her dress, because elaborate Victorian dress, you don't see them that often up here. She was gone. She vanished, simply vanished. Now, other people have seen a woman in Victorian dress coming out near the front corner of this restaurant, coming out to the street, coming down the street, turning here, and she vanishes not far in off this road, off the sidewalk. So we're like, okay, how are we going to figure this out? Who could this be? What was here? The first thing I was like, what's significant about this spot? We found out there was a house here, a boarding house here called the Lozens House. It was run by the Lapine family for a very long time, and they had a daughter. Now, how we got a time frame, people staying in Lakeview right here would report occasionally a woman humming a song, but they no one really understood what the song was. It was an older song, and I couldn't hum it. I know it, but I don't know how to do it and make it sound right. So they'd hear her humming it. She's usually wearing a long dress, Victorian dress. She has a sash. She has a parasol. And she comes from there, goes over here, and she vanishes. Well, this is where her front door was, to her house. So the residual haunt, they do what they know. Mm-hmm. And when she goes through the door, she's gone. She never changes. She always does the same thing. People catch bits and pieces of it, depending on the barometric pressure, the weather, temperature. All these things can factor into what happens.
Yeah.
So when she disappears, oh, the person in here, one of them emailed me just, it was sometime around Christmas, and he was one of the people who saw it, got my email address, and he goes, I've got the song. Watch A Christmas Story, the movie A Christmas Story with Ralphie. When he gets soap poisoning and does the song, sad song, that's the song she was humming. So I go and look on, find out the movie, what's the song? Okay, I got the song. Hearts and Flowers, that's the name of the song. So I'm like, okay, Hearts and Flowers. What's the significance of that song? It was a silent movie accompanying it. They play it at silent movies. The Haunted Theater used to be a silent movie house.
Okay.
And we looked, and there was a movie made called Hearts and Flowers, and it was 1918, and the song went with that movie, and we knew that this house in 1918 had a significant story. Catherine Lapine, she got engaged and got married. And it's a strange love affair, because the guy she fell in love with, he was already married, and they were madly in love. He was here for work, and he decided he was going to leave his wife and marry her. He married her, and just 3 days, 6 days after he got his divorce, they got married, and they lived happily ever after. They moved to Hancock, Michigan, up to the UP, lived their full lives, and they were happy. They had kids. He died in the 70s. She died in the 1980s. And end of the story. But her ghost is the residual haunt. We think it was the night she got engaged to the guy she fell in love with. They went and saw a movie, had a romantic night. She's walking home. She walks through the old cemetery that used to be here at the time. And she's coming through, comes down the street, humming the song from the movie she just saw, and then goes home. So we think that's Catherine Lapine who haunts it. But it's just the puzzle pieces on that one just fit. You don't usually get that many stories from different locations. Everybody thinks it's something different, but it's actually the same thing going in one direction.
For it all to come together.
It came all together, and I'm just like, so we know who she is. She's a happy haunt, but she's residual, but she's happy.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the Vyvgart Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VyvgartMyWay.com.
That's VYVGART MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VYVGART Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.